Blog Talk Radio.
Own your life.
What's up? I'm Tito Ortiz.
This is Rob Van Dam.
Hi, this is Mark Merrill.
Hi, my name is Ray Lloyd, Glacier in World Championship Wrestling.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and I just want to say that DDP's yoga pretty much changed my life.
I was 37 years old, and basically I was just taking a pass on everything and letting life pass me by.
You gotta get your hands.
Diamond Cutter. Take it back. Bring your arms out to a T. Clench your fist. Hulk it up. Woo!
Cause it's time. It's your time.
I feel better now at 40 than I ever have my entire life, and that's not just a cliche, it's the truth. So thank you.
I am stronger now. I'm living 52 years old. I'm stronger now than I've ever been in my entire life. Absolutely incredible.
DDP Yoga changed my life.
And it will change yours.
DDP Yoga. It ain't your mama's yoga.
Ah! High five.
It is 9 p.m. Wednesday, April 4th, and woo-woo-woo, you know it. It's another DDP Radio, and it's going to be a special program tonight, but I wanted to get it quickly out there that what is becoming another great relationship with DDP Yoga and an awesome, awesome talent in the ring. Zack Ryder is Facebooking and tweeting up a storm, isn't he, Robert?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's, I guess it was about a half an hour to an hour ago, he posted a picture in front of the DDP Yoga menu screen. You know, he had this big screen behind him, and of course, his big smiling face, saying that he's getting ready to do his first DDP Yoga workout. And he just tweeted another picture of his abs in the bathroom mirror, about how good he looks after the workout. So, yeah, I mean, Zach's a great guy, and so it's awesome for him to do that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. At this point, between he and Jericho, I was like, you know, Jericho looks like he's in the best shape of his life. Obviously, if you saw WrestleMania, he had a fantastic match with Punk. He was all over the place, and he's completely ripped. But now you see the picture of Zack Ryder, they're going to have a fight for the best abs, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be ripped with this program. There's no telling what guys their size in the ring are going to be able to do. I mean, you can just see it with Jericho. I mean, with how he's just all over the place in the ring with it.
Absolutely. And speaking of Jericho, one of the team members tipped me off today during their dueling diaries on WWE.com. There were some photos that I missed, and it actually had Chris Jericho doing the DDP Yoga workout. Four photos, three of them were the workout, and the fourth one was his Aussie CD, his necklaces, and his YRG DVDs.
Nice. Yeah, I saw the pics, and his DVDs are just sitting there. They're fantastic. And for people who don't know, Punk and leading up to WrestleMania, Punk and Y2J were having quite a Twitter battle back and forth, and basically just trading shots. And it was cool because Punk said something about, yeah, go back and do your yoga. And Jericho just got us over with, just, bro, this isn't yoga, it's DDP yoga.
Yeah, he said, see if I can, I've read the quote so many times. I've been something to the effect of it's the best workout I've done in 10, and let me rephrase it. It's the best workout I've ever done, and I've been wrestling 10 years longer than CM Punk. He's walking around with ice bags on him like an Eskimo in February, and I'm walking around pain-free.
Oh, yes. That is the quote. So, I mean, everybody listening, if you're a fan and you're a man's man, DDP Yoga is the workout for you. And, you know, these guys, if you can give them a shout-out and, you know, you kind of want to cheer them on along with DDP Yoga, Twitter handles are Zach Ryder, Z-A-C-H-R-Y-D-E-R. I got that right?
That's right.
And I am Jericho, along with DDP Yoga and Real DDP. You'll get a lot of action tweeting about DDP Yoga on Twitter, and you can always check everybody out on Facebook. So,
yeah,
we're gonna have.
Let me interrupt you there for a second. A thought just occurred to me. The amount of wrestlers who are doing the program now is just getting staggering because Dallas
well,
just worked.
Match.
What's that?
Yeah, because the tag team match in it was a SmackDown versus Raw brand match.
Yeah, and SmackDown Team Teddy was almost Team DDP Yoga. We've got, you know, Santino's on there. Everybody knows about him. Dallas just worked out with the Great Khali, got him to take his 6 picks, which is just amazing. Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe is getting the DVDs, the new DVDs again. Cody Rhodes, The Miz, Daniel Bryan, just the list goes on and on.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, I can't imagine how great WWE is going to get now that they're on DDP Yoga. That's what they need.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, during the match, there was this one point, I think we had talked about it, Sparky, there was this one point where Jericho is getting ready to get pinned and he put his foot on the rope, but doing that showed his flexibility, and when that happened, we got so many tweets about Jericho's flexibility, it was crazy.
That's a cool trend, man. To go up, hey, and giving a shout-out, we got Katie Stifler in the chat. What's up, Katie? Absolutely glad you're here. And before we get too much further, what I wanted to do is throw out the number because, as everybody knows who's listening, we're priming the show. We have the Arthur Borman on the show with a fantastic message, a serious message for you guys. So if you want to call in, 347-994-1216. We'll line up the lines for you. Robert will get you in, and we'll get a chance to discuss with Arthur sort of about making changes to your life and trying to make changes in other people's lives, you know, so you can start living a great lifestyle and get the benefits of everything that life has to offer. If you're not on the phone and you want to hop into the chat room and throw a question in there, we'll get it either myself or if Stacy pops in here, we'll field the question and get it to Arthur, and that's going to be at ddpradio.com. Just hit that, click tonight's show, April 4th, and you'll get right into the chat room. Start chatting, and we got about 10, 15 people in there right now. We're going to start to get more in as people filter in. So please, feel free. We'd love to talk to you, and I know Arthur would. So.
And with that, Stacy, the under the weather Stacy, has just joined the show as well.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi, Stacy.
What's up?
Sorry, I'm late. I'm just feeling a little, as Robert said. But I'm here.
That's good. Better late than never.
Hey, Arthur, are you close to your speaker, or we're still?
I'm using a handheld thing.
Okay.
So, with that, we got Arthur's voice. Everybody's anticipating it. How are you doing, Arthur?
Fine. You know, I guess I should start in on this. While we were out in Atlanta a couple of weeks back, I did not know it at the time, but a friend of mine passed away. And what bothers me is this particular friend, he and I were at the same place, almost. I was worse off than he was when I first started. You know, we had a lot in common. You know, we were both workaholic teachers. He had 3 girls. I had 3 boys. he'd been married for a very long time. I'd been married for a very long time. You know, we were both getting our administrative, you know, certificate, you know, working on it, you know, for want of a better word, our vice principal's license, so to speak. And, you know, we were older than a lot of our peers in the class. And, you know, we just spent time together and got to know each other, got to be friends. And he was this really tremendous guy. I don't know anybody who didn't like him. His name was Mike. And, you know, when I began to, you know, start the program, like, he knew me before, and he knew me during, and he saw everything happening, and I said, you know, hey, I'm doing this thing, you gotta try this. And he never would. And the worst problem is, all the excuses that anybody normally would bring up to me are the excuses he brought up to me, the ones that I normally shoot down. It's like, I don't get the time. Dude, you and I work the same basic number of hours. You know, I'm sore. Believe me, dude, I'm more sore than you are. I'm walking on sticks all day, you know. But I didn't say these things.
So, just to throw it into some perspective, surgery loss, Arthur, I know that hits the heart. You can actually tell from the blog. So how long ago was that? I don't know if we caught how long ago when you guys...
I first met him about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
About 2 years before I started the program. And, you know, when I started to make progress, when my body began to change, he was very encouraging. Oh, keep it up. I'm saying, you got to try this. But I would never push the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I would never push the issue. So the benefits that I got for me, I should have tried to, you know, grabbed him and drug him along. I should have said, look, you know this is working. You can see what this is doing for me. You know, but I didn't.
That's tough. Let's take it back a little bit, too, to the beginning, because we found some footage that Steve, you took on Inspired the Movie, where you just discovered DDP Yoga, the Time YRG, and you actually said you were in worse shape than Mike at that time, so you had a bit longer road to go. And talk a little bit, what did Dallas say to you that really snapped you out of it?
Well, to be honest, everybody thinks that, you know, he told me I was going to die, which is true, he did. But what he really said that snapped me out of it was that I was going to leave my wife a widow, and I was going to leave my kids without a dad. That's what really got me. You know, I, at some level intellectually, I knew I wasn't going to last much longer.
Yeah.
But I didn't really stop and think about what that was going to do to the people that I cared about. That's what got me. You know what I mean? It's funny. Yeah. There are things worse than death. And that's one of them.
Yeah. One of the things that you said in that part of the interview that really kind of hit home for me, and I didn't think about it at the time I was making some of the choices, but you described my choice that was, you know, sort of unconscious to me, was that you were choosing to eat all this junk food to sort of enjoy the food over having a lifetime of your family, right?
Mm-hmm. I was not doing things that reflected my beliefs. I mean, I think of myself, you know, as a family guy. And, you know, that my wife and my kids are the most important thing. But I wasn't acting that way. I was acting in a way that said, you know, hey, this slice of pizza, this ice cream is more important. And that's what I was doing. I was acting in a way that didn't match what I believe. And, you know, it's a hard thing to say to somebody. It's like getting slapped in the face. You know, You know, you say that to the average person, they're going to get mad at you. But,
yes.
You know, I didn't want this guy. I valued his friendship very, very much. I mean, he wasn't just another teacher. He was a coworker. He was somebody I looked up to. I respected this man just tremendously. And I didn't want to jeopardize that. Maybe I should have. I don't know.
Now, you said he was kind of, you know, you were and he were in the same place when you started. I mean, because I know that you had a lot of the...
He was heavy, and he was having a hard time. You know, we were huffing and puffing around the building, if you know what I mean. Because
uh-huh.
You know, we were the kind of guys who couldn't get all the way up the stairs without stopping for air.
And you had physical... you know, your bad knees and everything else to overcome. Did he have anything similar, or was he just a heavy guy?
He was just a heavy guy. He had some aches and pains, but nothing as bad as, you know, mine were.
Okay.
But,
So, when you started to make the transformation, Arthur, and he started encouraging you, was there any one point that he reached out to you to try and make a change, or... was there just sort of this passive support, and you were just kind of moving on with your change, and you know,
he encouraged me. You know, he said, "Well, you know, you should keep on doing it, keep going. It's, you know, look at you, you're losing weight. It's great. That's wonderful." And then sometimes I would say, "Thanks, that's cool, that's great," but other times I'd say, "Hey, you got to try this," but I never pushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I never pushed it. You know,
When you say you didn't push it, I mean, what do you mean? You didn't invite him to a workout?
I didn't invite him to a class. I didn't invite him over to my house to work out with me. You know, I suggested a couple times mildly, "Hey, you got to try this. Yeah, I can get you the discs." You know, that kind of stuff. And he said, "No, no, no, I don't have time." And I say, "Oh, you got to do this." And, you know, I should have said more. I should have done more.
That's tough because I look around my life and I can pick one or two people that I know, you know, could benefit from it. And I know at least one of the people I have actually done workouts in around about them, and they've seen me. They've actually watched me do the workouts, and I'm thinking to myself, if you're watching me do this, you can do this. But the words have never come out of my mouth. I would love to figure out the best way to get that across. And not just like with the workouts, but the eating and the food. You know, it's a hand-in-hand relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
but the thing is, you know, I mean, I'm in a weird situation at work, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, but it's like where there are educators, there are carbohydrates. faculty meeting, you got donuts, you got bagels, you got everything. I'm used to walking into a faculty meeting with a bottle of mineral water because that's the only thing, because I know that's the only thing I'm going to have. It's like I'm not going to have the sodas, I'm not going to have the coffee, I'm not going to have the chocolate, I'm not going to have the donuts, I'm not going to have the bagels, I'm not going to have the bear claws, I'm not going to have the whatever those round things are with the white stuff on top and the nuts and the cinnamon, and I'm not going to have that. And, you know, I'm not going to have the big long submarine sandwich that's like 8 feet long that everybody gets a 6-inch wide slice out of. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to eat myself into a coma at the faculty meeting. But I see people do that. I'm amazed. And it's like, you know, I'm going to drop back into that Wheat Belly book. You know, it's talking about this 2-hour cycle that we all get on. And I'm not on that 2-hour cycle anymore.
Well, educate me on that, Arthur. What's the 2-hour cycle?
Oh, the from the time you eat the stuff and your blood sugar goes up, then you get into that insulin range, then it drops back off, and then all of a sudden you're hungry again.
Okay, I'm with you.
So looking at something like that, Arthur, when we're talking about that, you know, we know And I think after we've spent some time doing it, we will spend the time reading Wheat Belly, right? We'll
yeah.
read the entire book. I'm a couple pages in, and I need to get the rest of the book in, but I know I'm going to finish it. You know, how do you think is the best way to approach somebody? I mean, because if I handed somebody a copy of Wheat Belly and said, you've got to read this, and they're at day zero, that may be just way too much for them. But
yeah.
that snippet that you said, if I can get that down, maybe in like a piece of paper or something, say, hey, look at this. Do you realize
yeah.
the two pieces of bread that you're eating has more sugar than two tablespoons of sugar? How much bread do you eat? You're probably eating a bag of sugar.
Yeah, that's on page 34 in the book. Yeah, yes, the glycemic index of whole grain bread is higher than that of sucrose. Incidentally, the glycemic index of a Mars bar, nougat, chocolate, sugar, caramel, and all is 68. That's better than whole grain bread. The GI of a Snickers bar is 41, far better than whole grain bread.
Wow.
And don't tell me you read that from memory.
No, I indexed the book.
Okay.
He was ready for you, Sparky.
Yeah. Because for a second there, if you told me that you did that from memory, I'd have believed you.
No, I went through and I read the book. Then I went back through with highlighters and I highlighted all the significant passages. And then I went to the front cover of the book and I wrote down the page numbers and all of the topics of the significant passages. That way, if I'm talking to somebody, I can just grab the book, flip it open, find it, and read it to them.
That's perfect. Actually, that's exactly what I need for the conversation I'd like to have with somebody, because I know if I take them that book and say, read it, well, I can't actually just take it to them because I've got an e-book. But, you know, just be able to give them the short, shocking snippets, you know. I've watched people during the change, and it's tough. I mean, have you ever had anybody react to you and say, When I first started gluten-free, I watched somebody say, hey, I'm eating gluten-free, and I'm turning around, and it's a plate full of pasta.
Yeah. You know, that's what kills me. There's a woman where I work.
Mm-hmm.
We share what used to be a storeroom and is now my office. And she is always talking about she's on this new diet or that new diet or this new diet or that new diet. And none of them ever work for her. And I'm sitting here across the room from her. And she knows that I have lost more weight than she weighs. And when I tell her, you know, it's not enough just to follow some fad for 3 months. You got to change your whole life. And I think when you say to somebody, you know, you have to change your life if you want a better life, that, I don't know, scares them. Or maybe the idea that they think that I'm saying that they don't have enough willpower, and I don't know.
Well, Arthur, I know from my own experience there is a definite mindset of not being ready or just not wanting to give up. I was not.
You're breaking up a little bit there, Stacey.
What?
You're breaking up a little bit there.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Okay, so nobody could have pushed me out of that spot. And it's really kind of mysterious as to how and why people get ready. But I think all we can do is, you know, just be really good examples of clean eating and living active lives. And people who are ready will find that attractive and want to know more.
Yeah, you know, along with that, I think one of the most important points you brought up, Arthur, and I think it's part falls on us, part falls on the people that we care about, is excuses and being able to combat the excuses. Somebody, Jay, posted that, you know, people are afraid to fail again.
How was that?
What is your advice from having gone through, because you didn't accept failure?
I'd accepted a lot of failure.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I tried a whole bunch of stuff, and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, the first, when I began, You know, back when it was called YRG, when I began the program, I was scared to death of failure. I think that's one of the reasons why I succeeded is because I was so afraid of failing again. I felt, to be really honest, I felt that if I failed one more time, literally, that it would kill me. I honestly believed that, you know, and maybe this is why I succeeded. I honestly, very direct equation in my mind, failure equals death. I honestly believed that this was my last shot, that I didn't have any more chances.
Yeah,
I believed that if I failed, I would die. And I hate to sound melodramatic, but it was in that simple a term.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and correct me on this if I'm wrong, Arthur, but I think that before that you had, you know, gotten a hold of Dallas and started the program, that you had basically given up.
Pretty much. I'll be honest, when I started, I was looking for a little pain management. I pretty much accepted that I was never going to walk again. I had accepted the idea that I was going to pretty much live out the rest of my life as virtually immobile, that people were going to have to drive me around because I couldn't drive a car. I had accepted that, you know, I would never be able to stand up for the length of a full class period. You know, I was prepared to live a second class life and a short one at that.
I went back and watched the video that Sparky posted, and on the blog that he did on TeamDDPYoga.com, and I had, as familiar as I am, well, that's getting really loud, as familiar as I was with your transformation, I had forgotten how you looked back then.
Yeah. I have.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I actually stuck, I have that picture up several places in my house, and it's kind of like to remind me, to threaten me, to cajole me, to inspire me, whatever verb you want to attach with it, because at different times it fits. But basically, I put it up there as a threat to myself. Is what you're doing really worth it? Is what you're thinking about, if you want that ice cream or if you want that whatever, is that worth it? Is it worth, you know, turning yourself back into that? And the answer, of course, is no. But sometimes you just need to be, you know, hard on yourself. I hate to say it that way. I mean, we all want to be nice to ourselves, but there's a little, you know, there's a little stupid person inside me, and I have to watch him very carefully.
Well, if that's the case, there's a big stupid person inside me. Yeah, but... And for that, Arthur, I think that's a good point, because when people are looking, if we're looking to talk to somebody, you hit on something there that, you know, do you think approaching somebody and saying, you know, what is most important to you now, is what you're about to eat or what you're about to do more important than sacrificing that, your grandchild, your wife, you know, your dog, your life? You know, is that more important than eating that cheeseburger or sitting down on the couch and just, you know, numbing yourself to sleep with the TV for the next 30 minutes?
You know, I know that we talked about before, you know, that you should have pushed harder. And on a lot of levels, I get that. But, you know, Sparky knows this story. My sister went to the doctor, and she has never taken care of herself. But she went to the doctor about, this was probably 2-3 years ago, and the doctor said, listen, you need to lose at least 100 pounds or else, you know, you're going to die. And that's it. So I got her the DVDs. I called up Dallas, and Dallas called her and spent an hour going over what she was eating and what she, you know, what she needed to do and everything else. And I even sent her the Arthur video, you know, because if that doesn't inspire you, you can't be inspired. She never watched the video. She never took the DVDs out of the player. She never did anything. About 3 months ago, she had the gastric bypass surgery.
You know, that's highly overrated. I've seen some reading about that. Because if you don't change actually, it's dangerous because if you don't change the way you eat, if you're psychologically still eating heavy after the gastric bypass surgery, you can actually kill yourself.
Mm.
Because your stomach is so much smaller, you can actually tear yourself open. If you eat uncontrollably with a smaller stomach and you're used to eating with that bigger stomach and you're not feeling, but you're just eating for, you know, like I said, for your brain, not your body, you can actually damage yourself. You can rip yourself open, literally.
Cool, that's crazy.
There's actually a case, it was in... started with a vowel, I want to say Iowa, Ohio, someplace, where a guy had that, and then 5 or 6 weeks after he was out of the hospital, he went into some all-you-can-eat place, and he literally killed himself. And I don't mean with a gun, I mean he ate himself to death.
Wow.
Oh.
You know, he went home that night, and he died.
Wow.
Wow. That sucks. I mean, the point of that is the reason I wanted to bring that up is because you can do everything that you can possibly do within your power to get somebody to do the workouts, and if some people just aren't going to do them, you know, whether it's this, whether it's whatever mess you come across that works, you know, you're responsible for Arthur, you know, and you've done a great job at doing that and you know, getting yourself where you are. You've done an amazing job. I know that it sucks about what happened to your friend, but he wasn't your responsibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think, like I said, I'm, you know, intellectually I know you're right. But at the same point, how far can you go? How far should we go? You know, did I go far enough? I mean, I felt like I don't want to risk this guy's friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, I don't want to risk my friendship with this guy. You know what I'm... You see the difference?
Absolutely.
I put that in front of keeping, you know... Maybe I should have... Forgive my language, but maybe I should have been a bit of an ass. If that's what it needed to keep him alive, it would have been worth it.
Oh, definitely. I'm with you. And, you know, and maybe you could have invited him to a workout or you know, put the DVDs in his hands or something, but... in the same token, you know, and you've got to be careful. Like you said, you know, you don't want to alienate people. You don't want to turn people off, but you can't make somebody change.
Yeah,
that's...
The way I look at it is the first hand that's going to help you up is the one that's at the end of your own arm. And if you're not going to use that to pick yourself up, it's very hard for somebody to pull you along because they're pulling dead weight. But... at the same time, there are things that we can do, and maybe like you said, Arthur, maybe it's testing the boundaries of your relationship, and maybe if that person is as good as a friend and loves you as much as you care for them, you know, it might be worth just a quick shock value to once see if you can get them to extend that hand to say, hey, I am here. I want you to be here with me for a long time. This is something that works. Look at me. Now, will you please try it? Will you try this step? I mean, and, you know, some people may respond to that. And some people may not. And, you know, one thing in, you know, losing Mike is a hard thing. And the power of Arthur is amazing, though. Because if you look at the greatest transformation in fitness history on YouTube, it's touched 140,000 people's lives.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty heavy.
And that is amazing. Because the path of success kind of sucks because you want to see it and you want to realize it yourself by changing somebody's life directly, but there are so many people who have not been met, have not been seen, who see the results and carry it away from them and carry away from the situation and say, you know, maybe I'm going to do something about this. You know, they've decided to make a change in their life just by seeing the example, maybe not even by the interaction, but just by seeing it.
Yeah, I kind of like the way that DDP approaches it, because he went up to and you know, Undertaker, and any wrestling fan knows what kind of shape Undertaker is in, because his body has taken a hellacious beating over the last 20 something years. But he's not going to push DDP Yoga or anything on anybody. He went up to him and said, "Hey, you know what I do? You know I can help you. Give me a call if you want." And he said, "I'm not going to chase that guy. If he wants my help, I will help him. But he's got to make that step." I really hope he does, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that offer is better than sort of sitting on the sidelines and just taking a look at it. Arthur, we actually had a question in the chat that I lost here for a couple minutes, but
sure.
I think it was Katie was asking, where did you hear about YRG and basically why did you start it? I think the latter part.
Well, I'm on the internet I'm on the internet a lot. I'm on the internet more than I should be, and a long, 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 long time ago. Before I met the current lovely and gracious Mrs. Borman, a friend of mine and I went to yoga classes at an Army rec center in Germany. And originally I went because my friend was going and, you know, I wanted to do things she was doing. And I actually enjoyed it. And a lot of my friends, to be really honest, thought I was a horn dog. You know, it's like target-rich environment. But I just kept on going. And because I enjoyed the class, and it made my back feel good. I mean, I was, you know, humping a heavy ruck around all day long, and you know, I ended up, you know, just going for its own sake, and I kind of liked that. But anyway, years later, I thought, you know, my back was just—I mean, my back hurt so bad that there would be nights when I could not sleep from the pain, and I would get up and I would be in so much just pure physical agony that I would go into the bathroom and throw up.
Wow.
That kind of sore, that kind of pain. And when you think about that being, you know, from somebody whose major problem is that he doesn't feel a lot of pain, you know, that's pretty intense. I mean, my back was knotted up like a rock. And I knew I needed to do something. And I thought, well, the yoga, you know, that helped my back before. But nobody around here would really want to work with me because I couldn't, you know, you have to be at least able to sit up on your own. You know, without all my equipment, I'm good for laying on my back, and that was about it. You know, I actually went to a couple of different studios, and they, you know, one of them just right up front said, you know, we can't work with you. You can't even stand up. You know,
wow.
You can't sit upright. You know, touch your toes. You can't even see your toes. You know, I was just taking it on faith that I still had them because I couldn't feel them. I tell you what, it kind of bothered people when I began to feel my toes again, because I'd reach down with my cane and whack them, because I could, it's like, wow, I can feel my toes, you know. But when I got to the point where I could begin to move them, that was awesome. But you know, I was looking for pain management, and you know, nobody would work with me, and I tried a couple of videos, you know, get them from the library, you know, get some yoga videos from the library, and the problem with them was, you know, they were all predicated on the ability to stand and walk and move, none of which I could do. And there was no way I could modify it, no thing I could do to control it. Then when I went and I just started throwing different parameters in on search engine, and I threw in yoga and broken back. And I just started searching around through the results, and I found DDP. And I remembered the name from when I was in the Army, because I used to see him in the day room. I wasn't a big wrestling fan. I know that's kind of different from a lot of people here, but I was not a big wrestling fan. And, you know, I saw him in there. And actually what I remember was he actually made the inside of a yoga magazine, and there was a PDF of that thing talking about, you know, wrestler doing yoga. And I thought, yeah, well, it says he had an injury, and I had an injury, and tried that. And when I went to his website, they had the little YouTube clips. And I sat around in my chair and did that. I thought, yeah, I can do that. And then I read about Smokey. And I thought, well, geez, here's a guy who works as many hours just about as I do. And he's able to fit this program in. So if he can do this, I can do this.
Yeah, you were working like 80 hours when you started, weren't you?
I work about 80 hours a week. I'm still working right now. I work about 65 hours a week right now.
Man.
Wow.
I took it down some.
The positive is from this, I mean, I am amazed every time you say how much you've worked and what you've done, and when you look at where you started, when you look at that original footage from Inspired the Movie, that's the first time I ever saw, we saw you with the canes, but you were actually being wheeled around in a wheelchair, and it was just kind of a shock to see, you know, because that actually threw you back a little bit further than where, you know, I think people find it in your mind.
Well, I didn't take a lot of pictures back then, because to be really honest, I wasn't really proud of myself.
Yeah. But if we fast forward today, what we threw in, we took some of the, Robert showed me some of the pictures of the moves that you were pulling, and it was crazy. Some of the stuff that you can do with the flexibility, because you are on the path for the extreme flexibility, but you have all those moves. But how many certifications do you have for yoga right now?
I've got my 200 hour, my 500 hour. I'm certified to teach a style called Yin. I'm certified, you know, Y or G, of course. I'm also certified, interestingly enough, prenatal, which I found prenatal yoga very useful. I know that sounds strange, but you learn a lot about breathing techniques in prenatal yoga.
That's cool, man. Not that I'll ever need it, but maybe I would. Was there anything along those lines? Because you had to you really built up a desire to sort of master the entire life change. The entire transformation to the point where you mastered everything that impacted and catapulted you to where you are today.
Well, I'm trying. I've actually, you know, I'm trying to study everything I can. I mean, there's, you know, there are some people here, it's like there's no way I know as much as Henry does about diet and nutrition. Or Dallas, or so many people. But, you know, I'm trying to learn enough about it that when people bring it up that I can speak intelligently about it. You know, I've learned a lot about the different, you know, the different techniques. You know, there's like thousands of yoga postures.
Yeah. One of the things sort of hitting along that is, you know, sort of having a belief in what you can do and a belief in others might help them change. I know when we were at the photo shoot, you got really excited, and I haven't had anybody really excited and look at me to try some stuff, and you had me doing side crow, something I had never tried before, and you were just like, that excitement really drove me to keep trying it, and I'm still working on different things today, you know, and I think that's what you provide for people today, and I think if you can provide that for other people as an example, trying to break through to them, showing excitement in them, that might break through some of the, some of the hesitancy they have to start, and there's actually a fellow on the line who at first seemed a little hesitant about things, but he's starting to break into things to the point that he put a 51-minute video of himself doing a workout and just owning it, because he's gotten to the point where he's so proud of himself.
That's awesome.
And I think you helped him. You know Russell?
Russell the Tuba Geek?
That's me.
Hi.
Hello, Arthur.
Hi.
I'm honored to be finally getting a chance to speak with you face to face, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I was telling Robert, I'd known about DEP's program for a while, actually back when it was YRG. And I never took a chance at it. And then I did see your video, and it was when I saw your video, I went, okay, that's it. I've tried different things. I can't run to save my life. It hurts too much. I don't like working out in the traditional sense. So it's like I'm willing to try something new. And yeah, as you said, I've been going through it for about 6 weeks now, and April 1st, new challenge got posted. I'm actually being challenged against another member of Team DDP Yoga to improve my consistency and to push my weight loss. And I said, okay, if I finish the March challenge, I'm going to celebrate by doing Diamond Curve for the first time. And I did it, and I recorded every second of it.
Yay.
And I was, if you've seen any of my videos on my YouTube channel, I've been pretty laid back on what I've been, you know, whenever I've finished off my videos. I joke that I have the charisma of John Laurinaitis. But I got done doing that workout, and I was so amped, and I was so jacked over just the fact that I completed this workout that was by far the hardest thing I had done so far. Go to the video, watch the end of it. I told people to feel the bang in the most excitable way I've ever done it. And I can't help but thank you and thank DDP both for this. Thank DDP for the program, but thank you for showing me something that was just absolutely mind-blowing and just moved me to the point of saying, okay, it's time to take action.
Wow.
It's never too late to take action either.
I'm actually kind of dealing with that. You're talking about your friend who recently passed, and, you know, my condolences for your loss. My adopted mother and my birth mother are both fairly heavyweight. My adopted mom had knee replacement surgery. My adopted mom's knees are pretty much shot. The way she walks is just really unusual. And I've talked to my birth mom about this, said, you really need to try this. You know, she says, my knees are shot. I'm going, believe me, even if you think your knees are shot, there's going to be a way of making this
work.
Well,
one thing is the whole running. I mean, my knees are destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
My knees are destroyed. You know, I ran a little while ago just to see. I tried to run a mile,
mm-hmm.
and I was so much slower. It was like 6:15, and it was so much slower than I was at my fastest.
Mm.
And I was just really, I was like, I was thinking, come on, let me at least break 6 minutes. But I couldn't for my life. And it's like, okay. But, you know, it's what?
I was going to say, my running issues, I have very flat feet.
Yeah. It's running is just so overrated. Because, I mean, all you're doing is you're pounding your ankles. I looked this up and actually did the math to check this out. Basically, you are putting four times, just because of the impact, no matter how lightly you step, you're putting four times your body weight just because of the downward motion on your ankle every time you run. Every step you take when you're fully in the air coming down on that ankle.
Wow.
Which for some of us is a lot. I mean, even if you're a lightweight guy, let's say you weigh 150 pounds, that's still a 600-pound impact on your ankle.
That's a lot of impact.
You know, yeah, especially when you think mile after mile after mile after mile. So, you know, running is, you know, that's one of the great things about DDP yoga is there is no impact. I can jack my heart rate way up high, get really up there just pouring sweat, and I don't have to, you know, I don't have to have an argument with my knees and ankles for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about. I mean, when I did Diamond Cutter, when I did that Diamond Cutter for the first time, the sweat was just dripping off me. You know, you saw, you know, he got says all the time, you know, concentrate that little dribble of sweat falling off your nose. And I actually, for this first time, I actually got to see that little dribble of sweat, see that drop of sweat hit the yoga mat. And it actually felt good to see that. It felt good to know that I was getting my heart rate that up and that I was staying up like that the entire time.
It's an amazing workout. Now, I talk about, Russ, I don't think I posted the video yet, but Arthur's been able to manage engagement to the point where he can just stand there in about, what is that, Arthur, about 20 seconds you can jump yours anywhere from 40 to 60 points?
Yeah.
If that.
I'm trying to get it high. I'm trying to see if I can ram it up over 200, but I haven't gotten that high yet.
It
will
amazing.
Happen.
Yeah.
Do you want to go that high?
Yeah, I want to see if I can stand there and not move and get my heart rate into the anaerobic zone.
Gotcha.
Wow. That's,
I mean, if, you know, that would be a lot of internal muscular control.
Absolutely, and practice makes perfect on that. Great stuff for us. We actually have also somebody else on the line. We have Mike here who's got a question for you, Arthur.
Actually, we got somebody else on the line before we go to Mike.
Okay.
Can you hear me, bro?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? I'm in my car. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Hey, Arthur, you should know that your anaerobic zone, especially as a space engineer that you are, that you research everything, at 52 years old, anything over 135, you're in it, brother. So if you're going to 200, you know, I don't know.
Well, I can get it up into the 180s.
Well,
I can get it up into 180, but I can't hold it there.
Yeah, well, there's no reason to for you to. You proved your point.
Oh.
Jeez, I don't want you to have a heart attack experimenting.
No, I don't want that.
I tell you, I worked out with Arthur last Sunday at WrestleMania. The Sunday before that, though, we were shooting the infomercial, and it was Arthur blew me away again. Some of the stuff that he could do. And then we actually went through a workout going back and forth. Can you hear me okay, Robert?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, yeah.
Okay, cool. As long as you can hear me, I don't care. but he blew me away and pushed me through some different levels that, you know, you never know where you're going to go. And we had a hell of a workout there at Steve Hughes' place. So I'm really looking forward to the next extreme workout. It's just going to be me and him and Yoga Doc.
So
we're gonna do some crazy shit.
Nice. I have fun with that.
So, Sparky, are you running the show tonight or Stacey here?
Yes. Yes. Robert, Arthur, and I. Stacey had to drop. She's got a cold.
Okay. No big deal. Just curious. I just got done working out with Sean Loeffler, who's he's one of the MMA fighter I've been working with, and you know, he's coming back from an ankle injury, but you guys literally could smoke him today on the mat. Now, once he gets into it and starts rolling, then he'll be a bad son of a bitch. But right now, everybody's got to start somewhere, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast.
If you could combine what he does in the ring and with his mixed martial arts, his jiu-jitsu, his striking, his grappling, and he said to me when we got done, he goes, wow. Yeah, I had him in that broken airplane thing I showed you guys, and not broken airplane, crashing airplane. Heart rate went up to 66, just putting his leg out in front of him, and he didn't even understand that. But he was in the 40s and 150s the whole day, so we did about an hour workout. He's got an ankle injury, so we're nursing him back from that. But it's all good. All good. What topic today are you guys talking about?
We're talking about getting in touch with people who need to change their lives and being comfortable talking to them, because Arthur experienced the loss of one of his closest friends
you know, he started sort of at the same place as Arthur, and Arthur ended up changing his life, and this guy never made the change.
Yeah.
Well, Arthur was also ready to make the change, and, you know, a lot of people want it, but they don't want to work for it. As we all know, Arthur really works for it. You know, that whole movie, The Secret, is awesome, that you can manifest things into reality, but the one thing The Secret forgot was you got to work at it.
Absolutely. You've got to get off the couch.
Right, that's the real secret. You got to work.
Yeah.
I think that was...
What are you going to say, Arthur?
I think that's a big problem with a lot of... Yeah, I think that's a big problem with a lot of guys is, you know, everybody wants it, but being willing to put in the changes to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you were willing to do whatever Dallas suggested that you do. And then some.
Yeah, I think you have to be willing to put in the effort. And if somebody went, like, if I wanted to help somebody, I might ask them. But at some point, if they don't want to put the work in, you're just pulling dead weight. You got to find something in their life that they want to give up so badly to make that change that it's worth the exchange.
But also, you got to find something that they really want, that takes it to another level. And it's not always possible. And sometimes you're going to fall down 5 times, you know, before you ever really stand up. You know, and that's just part of this process. When I was down at one day before, I went to WrestleMania, we ended up getting about, there's about 20 guys. Robert, your typing is really loud. There's about 20 guys in the WWE right now that are doing the program. So maybe just gonna. I think Robert, you tell people we got a tweet from Zach. A lot of good buzz on the program. So hopefully, as time goes on, it'll get better and better and better. Listen, guys, go back to what you're doing. I just want to check in. Anybody got any questions for me or anything?
I don't. Check your email, bro, because he tweeted a second time. You got to see that one.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, he's got himself all ripped up looking in a mirror, man. He's looking shredded.
Man, well, he did that on his own. I just wanted him to get flexible because Zack Ryder, I took his pictures. He's very unflexible. And when you're unflexible and you're a wrestler, you got a way higher chance of getting injured. So,
We were talking
stuff like that.
We were just talking about watching WrestleMania and seeing the stuff that Jericho can do now. How nimble he looked in the ring was amazing. Not that he wasn't before, but now he's on a whole different level.
Well, that he just keep doing it, you know, that's just a great testimony to it. He's the biggest, you know, spokesperson first out there, you know, and letting people know. And he actually did a shoot in Ben's Fitness that'll be up in August. So excited about that. And it was funny, they went to him and they said, okay, we need you to do all these positions. And they were naming all the yoga positions. I wouldn't know what they are. I might know some of them. Arthur would know them all. But Jericho says, I don't know any of those positions. I do DDP yoga. Here's what I do. And he got out the DVD and started, he loves Strength Builder. So he got out Strength Builder and just started doing the workout, showing them different positions. And one of the ones they'd never seen before was Broken Airplane. And they love that position. It was pretty interesting. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that comes off. Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, I got to roll.
All right, brother. Hey,
see
happy
you
birthday.
See ya.
Hey, thanks.
Yep. All right, that was a quick hit, fellas. So I don't know, Mike, are you still there, bro?
Hello?
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 Yeah, it's Muscle
Steel. Hey, Mike, you're on.
Hello?
Can you hear us, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on, brother.
All right, cool, man. I started, I'm 4 weeks into DDP Yoga. I ordered it about 6 weeks ago, actually, and I'm down 19.6 pounds. I'm a retired independent professional wrestler. I worked in the independent scene for about 8 years, and I tell you, my body was just ravaged after that. I mean, I don't understand how guys like DDP can do it for, you know, 15 years on the level that he did it and really continue to do that, because 8 years and I was out. I had 2 reconstructive shoulder surgeries. My knees are shot. My hip is shot.
Hmm.
I needed something to get me able to live again because I was relying on pain medication. I was relying on everything under the sun to get me through, but it wasn't working. So I started DDP yoga 4 weeks ago. I'm already down 19.6 pounds. I weigh about 272 right now. I was about 290-something before. And I tell you, the real thing that sold me was I had heard stories of DDP in the circles, the wrestling circles, and the thing that really got me was how much people said how positive he is, how just positive and how he cares about people, truly. Like, you watch these infomercials on TV, and you know these guys are full of bull. You know, they're trying to make a quick buck, and I'm sure, you know, DDP's making money off this, but he really gives a damn about the people that are doing this yoga. And I saw Arthur's story, and I'm like, well, there's no way you can Photoshop that. There's no way you can put a side-by-side picture of him and sculpt the abs after what I saw of Arthur. And that just really motivated me. I said, okay, if he can do it, you know, I'm 29 years old. There's no doubt I can do it. I have no excuses.
Bro, that's kicking ass, losing almost 20 pounds in the first, you said, 30 days, the first four weeks.
Yeah, I finished 4 weeks this week. So,
are you Mike from Texas? You from Texas?
No, I'm up in New Hampshire.
Are you on you a team member? You on team DDP Yoga?
I haven't used it much yet. I'm actually just starting to get into the community now, but I am on there.
Oh, bro, did you take your before pictures?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Keep those pictures in after 60 days, man. After 30 days and 20 pounds, I can't wait to see that. But your 60 days and your 90 days should be pretty awesome with that kind of progress.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, man. I'm really excited. I mean, it's something that I can do. It's low impact, which I like. It's not low, you know, exercise, but it's low impact. It's not hard on my joints, and I feel like afterwards, my girlfriend Katie's here. I tell her after DDP yoga, I take a bath, I get out, I feel like $1 million. I really do.
That's awesome. So you're 30 days in, and I can tell, man, you got the energy. So you got to be running around 20 pounds less, people looking at you, asking you what's going on, and you know, one of the things that we're talking about tonight with Arthur is getting other people to change their lives. So you've had to have a conversation already with somebody, I'm guessing. How'd that go?
Oh, yeah. I've had my girlfriend here has started it a couple times, and she likes it. It kicks her butt. She does Zumba a lot of times, and she comes home from Zumba sweating. She goes in and does DDP yoga with me, and she's sweating twice as much. She does Zumba, and she comes home, and she does this, and she's, oh, my God. But, yeah, we've had that conversation before. We work together. We work off each other to motivate each other, and that's really helping both of us a lot, too.
That's awesome.
That's cool. So what's your favorite workout right now?
I like the diamond cutter.
Oh, 30 days, and you love the diamond cutter.
Yes, I've done it twice now.
Man, you're in it to win it.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I'm used to working out. I've worked out a bunch of my life, but I've never had like a proper regimen. I've never really been regimen to do anything, and I've never really been motivated to get better at something. And I keep pushing myself to do these workouts. I'm trying to push it, maybe too hard, but I'm trying to get to the point where I read on DDP's website that you can get certified at this. I told my girlfriend tonight that's my goal. I want to get certified for DDP yoga and bring it to New Hampshire and do something here with it.
That's pretty damn cool. So, I mean, 30 days in, you're just starting. You've got one of the masters and pillars in Arthur on the line. Do you have a question or comment for him?
Yeah, I just want to let him know how amazing his story is. It really did show to me that it can be done. It really can. And I see how broken you were physically, and I consider myself broken, but not even near on that level. And just to see how you had the motivation to do that, it really inspired me and showed me not only was this legit, but it's something that I can do myself. So I just wanted to thank him very much for just, you know, being an inspiration to me and, you know, tons of other people who use this program.
Well, I thank you. I mean, if you're going to teach this and you're going to help, you know, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need a lot of people to get certified to teach this.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, as far as I know, I may be the only one on the East Coast doing this. I think Yoga Doc was doing some classes down in the Georgia area, but I think he's stepping away from it a little bit because he's
I think they switched up the format a little bit. Robert, you can get you can put some information in through on the site, and I think Marlon picks that up now, right?
Yeah, Marlon. He just sent me his rough outline. We want to have a complete certification process set up. I think he said it's 3 weeks out that we're going to have it completely revamped and everything out there.
That would be awesome.
I'm ready to do that too. I picked it up real early and actually started the original certification with YRG, and I stopped about half short. Life happened. I had other stuff going on, but that's definitely something to do. And I'd love to join the ranks doing that because.
Yeah. Just to be right up front, one thing I found out is I had to get my YA registry done, or a lot of places would not talk to me.
Really?
Okay. That means I had to do my 200-hour certification in classical yoga. Otherwise, a lot of people wouldn't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, well, where's your RY? They call it your RYT. You might notice I use those three letters. And that means that Yoga Alliance is kind of like the national governing body for yoga. And, if you don't have your ticket punched with them, little rhetorical quotes there around it. If you don't have your ticket punched with them, a lot of people won't recognize it. The big exception to that is Bikram. But if you're Bikram certified, you can only teach at a Bikram studio. But then after that, there's a couple other little things. You need, a lot of places won't talk to you if you're not CPR AED. So you got to pick up that, too.
Yeah.
And you have to have your insurance. But it's not that bad compared to what any other fitness trainer, group exercise instructor has. It's really very comparable. It really is. But the thing is, if you're going in and you're teaching, at a gym, I will tell you right now, I taught at a yoga studio and at a gym. It is much easier to teach DDP yoga at a gym than it is at a yoga studio. Because you go to a yoga studio, everybody's expecting you to know all the chanting, Om Namah Shivaya, Hara Hara Mahadeva Shamba, all that happy stuff. And if you don't know, all that stuff, they're going to look at you like, what?
Yeah.
And Lord help you the first time you shout Hulk it up in a yoga class.
Well, that's what I liked about this program too. This is Mike speaking. Is that it wasn't I didn't feel it was pretentious. I didn't feel it was like I had to be this person that I was. And it's DDP talking to me. I've watched DDP since I was 13 years old. I can I know that he's not going to BS me. He's not, and I like that part of the yoga program too. That I don't feel like I have to be like the spiritual mumbo jumbo to be a part of this.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've got a wonderful one-liner for that. I sit there and say, okay, guys, you're not going to get spiritual enlightenment in my class. On the other hand, if you do, please tell everyone you got it from me because I can charge more for the class.
Nice.
Nice. Hey, Arthur, we got a question from the chat room.
Sure.
Want to know if you got any negative comments when you were in the process of losing weight.
It won't last. It won't last.
Yeah.
It won't last.
And
I lost the weight once, and I put it right back on. It won't last.
You think that was more of a jealousy thing, or?
No, it's people don't believe. This is my opinion. I don't want to ascribe to anybody negative intentions, but what I think is that people look at what you're doing, and they see you making all these changes. And they don't want to believe it because everything in their experience says that nobody loses it and keeps it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we are, losing it, keeping it off. But what they're failing to realize is that we're not going on a fix it. This isn't, and everybody here understands this. And I think maybe we forget that other people don't. Everybody here has that this is a permanent change we're going to have to make and maintain.
It's a lifestyle.
Exactly. And other people look at that and say, oh, you're going to lose the weight and then what? And it's like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat this way until I die. I'm going to live this way until I die. And I will live longer, healthier, and happier. But I have had to say, there are some things I am not going to do again. You know, I'm not gonna stop at the Dunkin' Donuts on the way home and then stop for an ice cream and then get home and have a pizza.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, if you find out you're celiac, you've got to stay away from wheat. You know, there are certain things you just can't do in certain conditions, and you just have to accept that.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And I've also accepted the fact that for the rest of my life, I'm going to be studying. I am going to be reading up and learning as we find out what things we can and cannot do. It's like this whole wheat belly thing. So many of us have been reading it and talking about it. You know, the whole, you know, learning about the gluten and dairy free thing. I mean, it wasn't even wasn't even a big deal. Now it's so important that it actually gets its own tab on the website.
Yeah.
And it's that important. And that is something that's come up in the last couple of years. When I first started working with Dr. Fred Bishy, Dallas recommended his eating plan to me. And I was following it, and I had just tremendous results. And I did not exactly understand why it worked. And then I thought it was the food combining thing, and that is a component of it. But beyond that, it was the fact that I had taken almost every drop of gluten out of my diet. And, you know, I have learned so much more, and I've learned that we are always going to be studying nutrition, and we are always going to be studying kinesiology, and we are always going to be studying anatomy and physiology and breath control and everything else. We're going to be constantly learning for the rest of our lives.
You have to, and if you follow it, it's funny, like Wheat Belly says, you know, it became that everybody had to eat whole wheat, it was the best thing for you, and now you're reading it, and it talks about all the sugars and everything else, so it's going to constantly evolve and change. Well, and to that point, you know, maybe at some point when wheat was not produced in a laboratory, it might have been good for you.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned that the celiac disease, I mean, 10... 15, 20 years ago, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't known about, but if you had gone on that diet, it was an issue, it was a problem. But nowadays, it's easy to find, depending on where you live, of course, but it's easy to find other ways to eat.
And the thing is, things like this, too, what we can do to help is, you know, people, you vote with your pocketbook. So when you go in, if you're not buying that, if you're not shopping it, if you're not making the change, it's not going to happen. But so many people have been turning to it and actually buying it. You know, if I buy, I started juicing, and one of the things that I realized when I started juicing is if I'm going to buy, you know, a piece of fruit that's been, you know, loaded up with pesticides and sprayed, has been given a chemical, like an apple's been given a chemical in transport to help ripen it and get it the reddest it can be before it gets to me, and it's rubbed in wax, and, you know, why should I bother juicing that if it's not organic and grown, you know, in a way that's going to make it the healthiest for me to consume? So
well,
I'm,
you know,
paying a little extra for that.
One thing that's really good is I always make a point of this, is if I have the time, I always talk to the manager at my local Whole Foods, and I say, you know, I'm really glad, because my Whole Foods is like a drive away. There's one that's closer, but there's no parking, so I drive like 20-some-odd miles to the Whole Foods.
Mm.
And I always make a point of saying, you know, I drove all the way down from Baltimore because you guys have this and this and this. And they hear that. Or when they say... Or when somebody says, did you find everything you were looking for? I actually tell them, yes, I did. I'm glad you had this. I really wanted to find this. And when you do that, I don't mean like being a jerk, but when you do that politely, that sticks in. They have that little form you can fill in, and the managers actually read that stuff.
Yeah, I've been on not necessarily a rampage, but my local grocer used to have a fantastic section. It was like almost like a mini Whole Foods within the grocer. And recently, they split it all up. They split the organic, and they started moving everything into the regular aisles, and it's almost like it's hidden, like they want you to walk around and start picking random stuff off the shelf. And I can't find everything, and I kind of know the marketing toys and everything else, and I've kind of gently said, you know, hey, this was great when it was the other way. I can't find my stuff, and I've been asking about it, but, you know, about... If I want to spend the extra 10, 15 minutes, there's actually a Whole Foods and right across the street at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may just be that, you know, that pushes me to go to a place like that just because of what they have to offer.
Oh, and by the way, I saw that mic dropped off. If you're listening, man, I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, Mike, that was a great conversation, and man, we'd love to keep following you. So if you ever want to call for the Own Your Life segment or give us an update, please do. Keep in touch, brother.
Yeah.
So.
But you know, and again, that comes to the whole: how much do you want to push? I mean,
yeah.
I know this sounds weird because I have this kind of almost schizophrenic reputation. You know, when I'm on the mat in front of a class, I'm kind of loud and. Yeah, but a lot of the rest of the time I'm kind of not. And
yeah, I heard the term dictator at one point.
but that's all good. I mean, I think, you know, and the funny thing is when we were working out, there were definitely guys looking at us when you were, you can go and throw these weights around and, you know, kind of giving them the taunt. But what also works, and I'll go back to, you know, if you have... have the excitement when you approach somebody with it and you empower them with your excitement to say they can do it, because it goes back to some of the things that I think Jay said and a lot of people think. And, you know, I just had read an email from somebody where, you know, sort of that teetering on, am I going to fail? If I'm going to fail, I'm not even going to do it. You know, and I was kind of there when I started, but, you know, even though I'm partway in my journey, I was comfortable in some things, and you took this excitement in me to say, oh, you can do this, try it. You know? It,
yeah.
It feels so great when you actually, no matter how small that step is, you take it in the right direction. That's a waking up moment for a lot of people.
Yeah, I love this feeling the first time you hit a new pose that you've never been in before. The first time you hit it, even if you hit it crappy and you hold it for a split second.
Yeah.
Because once your body knows you can do it, then you know you can do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that feels so amazing.
It's funny you say that. I was actually hitting this at work, and there is another mic on the site, and because I was kind of showing off in my office. And I posted the pic of it, and Mike goes, well, can't you get your leg straighter? I decide to do this. And, Arthur, I forgot to take my glasses off. And when you straighten your legs, you know, sort of a fulcrum, the weight changes.
Yeah, you got to keep your chest long, and you got to squeeze your privates up into you.
Yeah. well, I didn't, and my face found the floor, my glasses found my eye, and man, my glasses looked like I just twisted them in a circle, and I cut my eye, and the girl taking the picture, she's just looking at me, and I said, what? And I looked up at her, and she's just kind of pointing at me, her mouth agape, and I wiped my forehead, and there's just blood running down my hand.
Oh, geez.
So, yoga can't be a contact sport, so never forget your manduka below you.
Wow. Yeah, he said the next day it looked like he had sweated on Arthur's mat.
Yes. Yeah, it was an amazing experience, because I'm not scared to try something. You can't be scared to try something. You have
yeah.
to
I mean
I think,
there's all, you know, you're only a couple of inches off the ground, you know. You know, I sometimes I always tell my students, I say, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself, But by the same token, when you're practicing on your own, you know, when you're developing your own individual practice and you're starting to really go for it, you know, you have to take that risk occasionally.
You know, and
yeah,
I think
the difference between working towards it and then going beyond it.
And I think that's a great approach to tell people when they have an excuse as not to work out, and you're approaching them. Oh, I don't want to lift weights, so that's too hard. Well, you know what? You're on a mat. You're only a few inches from the ground at any time. Your hands are free. You're not jerking weights. You can catch yourself.
Yeah.
Just try it. Just try it. So, man, we have some really good suggestions. I kind of wanted to recap. I've been kind of keeping track of a couple things, and you know, one of the first things is say, you know, get past feeling sorry for the relationship or the relationship that might be lost, and just approach them and make the offer the first time, right? Because that's not going to hurt.
Yeah. That's it. You got to take it forward. I mean, I was thinking about this a lot. You know, if you see somebody is going to crash, you know, you got to tell them. I mean, even if you know that it could endanger that friendship, you got to tell them. I mean, if, you know, I hate to use a different example, sort of a faster example, but if you know somebody's had too much to drink and he's going to drive home, you would take the keys.
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, it's a much slower, well...
I mean, it takes slow-motion suicide we're talking about here.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to come up with and couldn't quite do it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, you bailed me out, man. I appreciate it.
You know, in along those lines, one of the things, and I'm going back to your Inspire the Movie clip, you know, you look at... Dallas talking in that, and he talks about wanting to talk to other people that aren't close to him, because people will tell you what you want to hear. You know, if everybody's telling that person what they want to hear because they know it's too uncomfortable for them to change their life, you could be that one person that breaks the mold and just says, hey, do you know what you're doing to yourself? If you want, I can help you. I mean, if somebody took the time to say that to me, I might listen. So it's always worth the first offer, I think. You know, one of the other things that, you know, we were talking about is, you know, possibly finding something that they value more than their comfort in food or their comfort in their lifestyle, and seeing if that means more to them than the food. Arthur, for you, it was sort of the change in family. And actually, for me, it was a change in family. You know, having a young boy and a son that I couldn't keep up with as a 37-year-old, that's pretty eye-opening, you know? And getting winded, playing with your son at 37, doesn't give you many possibilities as they start to grow older if you don't change your life.
Thing, you know, I look so much at the things that I could have done with my kids growing up that I didn't. That is one of my biggest regrets.
Yeah. Jay just asked, go back to when I was overweight and how would I want somebody to approach me to get me to work out? Jay, that's a tough question. I to echo back to what Arthur and Robert were saying, I had people more poke at me and say more of the, oh, you're fat, you're overweight, you should do something about that. And it was like I kind of took offense to it because there wasn't really a consequence of that. The only person who gave me a consequence was my doctor. And it was only because he was a really good doctor who didn't want to put me on pills. He didn't want me hooked up to a BiPAP machine for the rest of my life. You know, he wanted to see my blood pressure. He knew where I was going. Even if when I didn't know where I was going, he knew what I was. 2 years, he brought me in every 3 months. trying to refuse to give me things, trying to get me to change. And then finally one day, when I finally got diagnosed with sleep apnea, that's when it sort of popped for me. And then I looked at my kid, I couldn't keep up with them and stuff like that. But, you know, I think maybe if I wanted somebody to say something to me, it'd be like, you know, like Arthur's talking about, make more of a stark contrast. Tell me that I am going to lose something in my life if I don't change.
Yeah. Because the weird thing is, there's a lot of stuff that we won't do for ourselves, but we will do for our families.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you can't put them before you and think about, you know, I just keep thinking about my oldest boy at the time, and it, you know, if I couldn't be there for him, what kind of life was he gonna have? You know, what kind of example was I showing him? And what's amazing now, as I look back at it, if I had to tell anybody who's a father with a child that's young, my boy will be almost four. He gets excited with DDP yoga now. Oh, there's DDP. He does the bang. Any video I type, he tries to get in front of the camera and he does a diamond cutter with a bang, you know, and he imitates me doing the moves. I already know as he gets older, he's going to be doing DDP yoga with me, and he's hopefully going to build those habits and form them in his childhood. That is so powerful. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the other things I think, you know, Arthur, that you do very well, that I think inspires, you know, you can look at your video, the 140,000 people, is walk the walk and talk the talk, live the example.
I don't think
when you tell somebody that they need to change, if you're not really focused on yourself and your health, it's hard to convince somebody.
Yeah. You know, that's a big thing. I feel like, you know, for me, one advantage I have is there is such an obligation for me to, you know, maintain. And I think that's, you know, I take that very seriously. So, in a way, that's an advantage. I feel, you know, it's like even when I'm by myself, I feel like there's always somebody watching me. It's like, well, I'm not going to do that. But it's good, though. It means it's in a way, I feel like there's extra eyes on me, so I feel like, yes, I can do this. Because, you know, it's really easy when everybody's around to make the right choices, but it's when you're by yourself that you screw up. In a way,
yep.
I feel like I'm never and that's a big advantage to the team. I feel like I'm never alone.
No one is ever alone here. I mean, we have 2,000 people almost on Team DDP Yoga. Anybody can pop in there and say, I need some help, and there's always somebody waiting. Especially now as we grow, people in the chat room, people in the blogs, people on YouTube, people on Twitter, people on Facebook, hit it anywhere. You know, and I think, you know, with that, when you walk the walk and talk the talk, you know, sometimes then just sit back and wait for it. It'll happen, and people will come to you. 140,000 people have watched Arthur's video. You know,
absolutely.
There's hundreds of people, you know, chatting every day on Team DDP Yoga, looking for the help. So if you can't push that one person, there's going to be somebody else who's going to need and ask for the push because they want it.
You know, a couple of weeks back, I had a cat problem in the middle of the night.
Oh.
Yeah, I got woke up by a fur ball, and then I went to the bathroom. I came back, and somebody would not let me have back my part of the bed. So I sat down at the computer, and I decided, well, you know what, I'll check and see if there's anybody new, and I'll, you know, send my little hellos to some new folks. And the chat room was going, and it was like early in the morning.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, we talked about that last week, how, you know, there was a time where the chat room was a ghost town, and you can find somebody there anytime.
Yeah, you used to be able to find Brad Joyner in there any point of the day, but I know he's had some things going on with an injury and whatnot, but now if you stop in there, it's like Dave Worth has been holding the fort down. He's always there. If he's not there, Russ is there. You know, and...
Whoa.
What was
that?
Somebody just got hit by a truck. I don't know who it was.
Either somebody got hit by a truck or we got the Arthur Bot 2000.
I don't think that was me. I was just wondering if somebody ate something bad. I don't know, you know.
I think if you guys hear me on the line, I think you heard my phone vibrate.
What?
This Russell, my phone vibrated. I guess I got a text alert.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that's cool. At least it woke anybody up who wasn't waking with us. So, yeah. In sort of closing it up, two guys I want to give a quick shout out to. I see Dave Sherman's in the chat. Dave's the guy who's been with us, who's been really rocking it. He drives a bus for a living, and he's been getting a ton of guys to work out with him that also drive. He's kind of an informal DDP yoga instructor himself. He's introducing it across the genre, and probably really needs it. And I wanted to give real quick a shout out to Jack Cross. Brother, I got your email, and I'll be hitting you back soon. So stick with it, bro. You'll be able to get it.
I want to give a quick shout out to Arthur's cat, just because.
This time, and you know what, Arthur, we can see where people from DDP Yoga in your cat's measure, because if I sweat on your mat, I'm getting punished, but your cat sleeping in your bed on your side gets to stay there.
Well, two differences. First, the cat knows where I sleep, and second, the cat has claws.
This is true.
So, real fast thought. I've been following with great anticipation and interest the DDP Yoga East Coast Meetup.
Yes.
Has any if anybody out there is interested, that thing is going on, I think, like 3 pages long now. And,
yeah, I actually just moved it, Arthur, and so people know, if you go to the event section, I created an event for DDP Yoga in DC 2012. It's actually at, you'll be able to find it. Just go to events and see DDP Y in DC 2012.
There it is.
The proposed date is June 9th, it looks like. This is a great alternative for people on the East Coast to meet up if you've got a short drive, maybe if you're not going to the retreat, or if you're going to the retreat and want a prep or a primer, it's going to be there. So people are going to try to fly in or come in on Friday, maybe stay till Sunday, but all the action's going to happen on Saturday. And Arthur, I think you said you're going to check your schedule, maybe throw a class there. We're going to try to work out on the National Mall.
That's what I'm hoping for, yeah.
Okay.
You know, let me pull this right now, because right is like 4 feet or 5 feet away from me. Let me go AFK for just a second.
Okay. And for people who are thinking about that, we'll get Arthur back, and we'll get you a little bit more detail on that. But don't forget about the DDP Yoga Retreat Extravaganza, July 26th through the 30th. I'm in Riviera Maya in Cancun.
Bad bird.
Whoops. Sorry about that. Okay, June.
That will be an awesome trip, and Arthur will be there too.
June 9th.
Along with DDP and Stacy, and I think they have over 20 or 25 people now. So, you know,
June 9th is open. I am totally open June 9th. Yay!
June 9th for DDP Yoga and DC 2012. You heard it here first.
I am so totally there now. How do I?
Arthur's in.
It says I'm supposed to respond. I will attend.
Fantastic. And there's all the details up there for about coordinating the workout, Arthur. So whenever you say you can be there, everybody will be there for the workout.
Jeez, so. I could do this. I could do DDP yoga for 4 or 5 hours if we wanted to. That would be awesome.
That,
well,
that,
we don't want to kill the other members either.
Yeah.
I haven't killed anyone in over 20 years.
You say that now, but it sounds like you're up to the challenge. So
But they were bad people.
Well, at least here we'll be, you know, a couple blocks away from the White House on the National Mall, so there'll be security around, you know.
Yeah, you may want to check for a hospital nearby, too.
What you should do is, if you're going to have a good time, bring friends. If you're not going to have a good time, bring enemies.
There you go.
And this is going to be a good time, so there'll be a lot of friends there. You know, it's a great opportunity, both for the retreat and DDPY and DC 2012. If you have an opportunity, meeting the family of DDP Yoga is a great experience. I've met several people several times. I've got, you know, the pleasure of working out with Arthur twice. I've met Doug Steffen and Mike Galeanos, you know, DDP himself, Terry, Yoga Doc, you know, Ed, Chandler, you know, a bunch of people. It's a great time, and you don't realize how much of a family it is until you actually see the people in person. So if you can make the retreat, make the retreat. You know, if you're thinking about the East Coast, you know, get together in D.C., hit it. Everything's up on the events. If you need to hit them, go to the event site, teamddpyoga.com. You get all the information there. They'll point you to different places on where you can get set up for them. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, but it's going to be awesome. Hey, you know what? Everybody should try to bring one person. Everybody should try to bring one person who's never done this before.
That's a good, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, each one bring one. That would be so awesome. That way we get a whole bunch of people more, and everybody sees everybody else out there having a good time, and they see us, you know, sweating and being healthy and doing. That'll send an awesome message.
This has the potential to be like one of the coolest sort of non-sponsored DDP yoga events. So
the million man sweat.
The million man sweat. Somebody compared it to a flash mob, but DDP yoga, you know, might start quick, but we'll be there for an hour, sweating, busting our tails, working out, showing people how they keep in shape in D.C., for sure.
Yeah.
With that, fellas, I am tapped out. I don't know if we got any other questions in the chat room. I kind of lost it in my on my desktop here. So if anybody has any last questions, Katie asked how long would the workout actually going to be?
I don't know.
It depends on how mean.
I hate to say it this way. You know, if we wanted to go for an hour, we could go for an hour. If you want me to go for 2 hours, I can go for 2 hours. I mean, when I'm jazzed up and I have a vague feeling that I will be, I could go for a long time if you guys want.
And if people want to hit it, you hit the first hour and then drop off, go to the Smithsonian or something, and we'll still be going,
you know.
Yeah, we'll hit the second hour and we'll get it done. let's work on that. Let's get the details in. Everybody hit that. And, man, great show tonight. I wanted to thank Russ for calling in, and Mike, great excitement, brother. And Arthur, thank you for bringing up a great topic and hanging in there. This has been an awesome show.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's definitely something we need to talk about, and it was, I think, a great show.
Yeah. Robert, thank you, and Stacy, for the time you were in. I hope you feel better, babe. And for everybody out there, the man, DDP, it's his birthday tomorrow. Wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday, brother.
Absolutely.
From the DDP radio team to, you know, one of the best dudes on the planet, DDP, happy birthday. We mean it, brother. And you are welcome for a great show, Katie. Thanks for the compliment. And with that, I'm done. You guys want to throw anything else?
I'm good.
East Coast meetup.
All right, guys. That's it. It's been real. It's been fun. But we got to go. You got to go. If the 10% comes a knocking, kick it in the ass. Live life at 90%. Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
on your life. Feel
the pain.
That was
a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Into the Diamond Cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.